I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. I'm pleased to have David Berner on again. He's been on before, and it's always been a delight to talk to him. I've talked about what a fan I've been of his program over the years. I read this week that he's discontinuing his very fine blog at thebernermonologues.blogspot.com. For more information on the broadcaster, lecturer, therapist, and addictions expert, visit his website, davidberner.com. We'll discuss the current provincial election and referendum campaign and more. He's also the community liaison at Langara College. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, David Berner. Good morning, Mr. Berner.
Hi, Joseph. Great to talk to you, as always.
Now, recently you had a heart attack.
Yeah, I laugh because I hardly believe it myself. March the 20th, Friday night, I went swimming, and I was doing fine, except every time I reached the end of a length, I thought, oh boy, I'm really out of breath. And also I could feel pains in my arms and hands and shoulders, and I thought, boy, that is angina for sure. So I did my 10 lengths at the aquatic center downtown and had a sauna and a whirlpool, went home, had a pleasant dinner, quiet evening, went to sleep quite peacefully at 11:30, woke up sharp at 10 to 1 in the morning with the same pains, only a little more acute. So I tried a little nitroglycerin spray under my tongue and didn't help much. I checked my heart rate, it was fine. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just lie down on the pillow and see if this will go away. And after about 3 minutes, Joe, I just thought, grow up, you know, this is, forget about it. And I dialed 911. Within minutes, the extraordinary paramedic service was there in my kitchen, and they took care of me and took me off to VGH. And that was 1:30 Saturday morning, the 21st of March. And the cardio team was there at about 8:39 in the morning, and they were the same group that had put a stent in one of my blocked arteries 4 years earlier. That one's still working fine. And 3 o'clock that afternoon, they wheeled me in and did another angiogram and discovered I had 2 more blockages, so they put in 2 more stents. And then the next morning, they were standing around my bed and talking about my heart attack. And I said, my what? What are you talking about? And they said, your heart attack. And I said, no, I had an angina and an angioplasty. And they said, we know what you had, Mr. Berner. We were there, remember? So I said, yeah, well, what are you talking about? Well, apparently there's some enzyme in your body, Joseph. I can't remember the name of it. It starts with a T. Sounds like, you know, tryptosine or something. And it's apparently always there at a low level. But if you have a heart attack, other than noticing that you fell over and banged your head, this enzyme spikes, and so mine had spiked at a high number. But since they had done the work on me, the number was decreasing every hour. So they said, okay, you can go home. And I was, you know, home by 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
My daughter picked me up. We went, you know, spent a fortune on medicines and went home, and someone made dinner for 3 of us, and, you know, it was quite amazing. And, you know, I had this instruction booklet on what to do, and I was supposed to walk, you know, half a block the first day and then come back, hopefully, and then walk a block the next day. Well, within a matter of a week or, you know, or whatever, I was walking 5K. So I am back. After I finish this conversation with you, I'm heading down to Stanley Park to hit some tennis balls.
And your health otherwise is pretty good, right?
Yeah, look, I think I've survived it with flying colors for a lot of reasons. One, just because that's the way it is. It's just the luck of the draw. I've always been healthy, and I eat well, and I exercise not as an exercise regime, just because these are things I like to do. I like to swim. I like to ride my bike, you know, and all these things. So, but one of the reasons I've done well is that I'm for a guy my age, I'm pretty strong and healthy to start with.
So. Yeah, I've always noticed that about you, that you're always, you know, pretty fit. Now, why the blogs end?
Well, you know, generally I was heading in this direction. I talked to friends of mine over the last few months saying, you know, I think I'm going to wrap up the blog soon. I just find, Joe, my interest in public affairs and world affairs just sort of waning. I began my sort of almost adult life, in my late teens, utterly obsessed with literature, you know, I was kind of a mini expert on James Joyce and Samuel Beckett and Henry Miller, and I'm a guy who reads constantly, and you know, and I do a lot of writing, and I just find more and more. I look at these intractable situations in Afghanistan and the Middle East and so on, and I just sort of shrug my shoulders. What am I supposed to do about that? You know, there are local issues that I can do something about, I guess. And one could argue, well, you do something just by writing about it, by saying about it. I just don't feel like doing a lot more of it at this time. Now, I told everybody the other day that my blog was retiring. I should have been clearer and more specific. It's not ending forever and ever. You know, if a week or two or three from now some subject gives me a fevered brain, I'll write about it and post the blog, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just not going to do it every day.
You spend a lot of time doing it, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. That's part of it. That's part of the problem. It takes up pretty much my morning, you know?
Yeah. That's why I've stopped writing for the website and just do interviews, because it's just too much work, really.
It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And people have urged me, you know, to do what you do, to you know, get the toy that'll record conversations and so on, or just do monologues or both. And I just have never gotten around to it. I do other things. I got a busy life, and who knows? Anyway, I'm very cheered by all the wonderful. I had like 30 comments. You know, people wrote in saying lovely things and that they'll miss it and so on, which is very sweet. But I won't disappear entirely.
Yeah, you mentioned that you've had this waning interest in public affairs. That certainly applies to this provincial election campaign, doesn't it?
Oh, brother. I mean, isn't this just about the dullest affair you've ever seen? I mean, you'd think somebody could latch onto something and run with it, but these folks are just deadly. First of all, let's talk. I almost said Mortimer Snerd, but I forgot her name. Jane Stirk?
Stirk. Yeah.
Well, yeah, first of all, I don't know. I don't know where to go. Stark. I've never heard the name Stirk before in my life, and I can hardly say it or remember it. And she may be a perfectly lovely person, you know. She may be a kind person and a wonderful human being in every possible way, but she doesn't register. She doesn't register, and unfortunately, much of the Greens don't register. Having said that, I will not be surprised if they actually do elect someone this time. I mean, I don't think they will, but they might actually elect someone, which would be a huge first. But you know, as you saw in that tragically, pathetically amateur, dreadful debate, and I'm not talking about the debaters, I'm talking about the presentation mm-hmm. by CTV, that excuse for a public debate, she didn't register at all, and the other two candidates just sidestepped her. It's like she wasn't in the room. I will say about that debate that I was very pleasantly surprised by Carol James. In the past, Carol James, to me, has suffered from the same problem that what's his name with the mustache does, little national leader, Jack
Layton.
I was at a little house party event a couple months ago that Layton was at. It was about him. It was about his being there, and people were invited to come and say hi. And he gave a sort of impromptu speech in the kitchen, surrounded by 50 people with a glass of wine in their hand. And he was wonderful. He was engaging. He was passionate. You know, he was terrific. And then I was chatting with him afterwards, and I said, where is this guy that we just saw in the kitchen? Where is he in large public gatherings? Like, you got to bring that guy to the podium. Because he and Carol James has been guilty of this. When he goes to the podium or goes to the in front of the television cameras, he becomes this pompous, serious, you know, he becomes Joe Clark or somebody, you know. And Carol James was guilty of the same thing. I'm told she's quite a lovely, engaging person, but as soon as she would get in front of a TV camera, she'd become very stiff. Yet, on that debate, on that dreadful Sunday night at 5 o'clock shows how interested our television people are, our broadcasters. They're screaming and yelling in Ottawa that they want money and breaks and, you know, and what's their commitment to the public? Yeah. I didn't see CBC doing this. I didn't see Global doing it. So CTV did it, and they did it on Sunday at 5 o'clock when the audience is less than zero. And it was, it looked like it was in somebody's garage. I mean, it was pathetically presented. But she surprised me by being very, you know, she stood up straight, and she was relaxed, and she was confident, and she threw a couple of great zingers at Campbell. And Campbell, I thought, looked absolutely dreadful. I don't know what's the matter with this guy. Where are his handlers? But he looked like, you know, the proverbial deer in the headlights. He looked like a crook. He looked sleazy. His eyes were shifting. His mouth was motoring on in five different directions at once. And his attitude was so abrasive. It was combative where it didn't need to be. My God, he's the premier. Relax, you know. He should have stood there confidently and, you know, easily tossed off any volleys that came his way. But instead, he went right for the jugular right away. And I thought, holy God, is this guy threatened? So anyway, I wasn't that impressed with it. And so far, I don't think any of the leaders has found a big issue. Do you?
Well, no. But the thing is, I'm wondering, you're talking about this debate, and you talked about when it aired and the sort. It seems to me that not a lot of regular voters watched it. So does it have an impact, do you think? Probably not.
I think it has very little impact. I think the small impact it will have is that the polls that were taken immediately afterward were in Carol James's favor. So I think she probably got a few votes. You know, for me, it's really simple because of what riding I'm in. If I were a few blocks south of where I live, I would have a dilemma because while I personally don't want to see the Campbell government returned, Vancouver Colchina has Colin Hanson running, and Colin is a guy that I have liked and respected over the years. For a politician, he has always seemed to be curiously apolitical. He just sort of does his work and seems to do it as best he can, and I think he's a serious person. And so I would be a little challenged about how I was going to cast my vote. The neighborhood I'm in is Gordon Campbell versus Mel Lehan, and that's real simple for me. Mel gets my vote. I'm voting NDP. I just don't want to look at Gordon Campbell for another few years.
Do you have a prediction as to what will happen Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think that Campbell will win, and I think he will, but I don't think he'll, I really think the NDP will get a few more seats. I think it'll be a more balanced government. I think that's my prediction. I may be totally wrong. I hope I'm wrong in the NDP's favor. I hope the NDP squeak in a majority, but I don't think it'll happen. I still think that they have some real strengths in the interior, and they have a few key ridings that I think work for them. But I think Campbell will still run the government, and I think that's a shame. And by the way, did you see the endorsement by the Globe this morning?
No, I did not read it.
Holy smokes! The Globe said in these the headline was something like, "In these uncertain times, this is no time for change. You know, do we have to stay the course?" And it was an absolute and total ringing endorsement of Campbell's government. And you know, I may be completely wrong about this, Joseph, but here's my take on the government and the economy. My perception, rightly or wrongly, is that the government of BC is largely, the economy of BC is by and large out of the hands of anybody in BC, that it is a child that is pulled along by the world economy. The world economy does whatever it does. At the moment, it's in a big tank. We're all hoping that there's some little signs that it's recovering, but they're sort of few and far between. But in the meantime, it's in a big tank. Everybody worldwide is suffering, and so is BC. I don't know that Gordon Campbell can be given a lot of credit for whatever good times we've had in the past, or that he can be given a lot of blame or censure for the difficulties now. I wouldn't cast blame on him for any of that, and I think it's a mistake for the NDP to attack him about the economy. I think he should be attacked about social policy, where he is almost negligent.
Now, we had Gary Mason on yesterday.
And oh, great.
Talking about the column that he'll have in Saturday's paper.
Yes.
He's coming out in favor of STV.
Is he?
Yeah. Have you got an opinion on that?
Well, this is very interesting to me because, you know, working at Langara, I created these debates called the Langara Dialogues.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to look on my wall here to see if I can see where it was. We had this debate. Oh, here it is. Electoral Reform Now, and it was February 18th. And we had Shoney Field from the Citizens Assembly in favor, and we had David Schreck, political pundit, arguing the negative against. And it was a very lively debate, and we had a lot of people in attendance. Of course, we filmed it, and it was on Shaw Cable. It was great.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to tell you, I majored in mathematics in university. I had a double major in math and literature. And I was offered my whole life by two insurance companies if I would study actuarial math, which of course I didn't, but I was pretty sharp at math. And I have a confession. Even after moderating this debate, I still don't understand STV. I don't get it. I cannot comprehend how it works, and I can't find myself enthusiastic about a system that I have trouble understanding. So, in spite of all the hard work of all the good people, and they are, I mean, God, it's like a religious fervor. Have you ever seen anything like it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting 2-3 emails a day from people who are total ideologues about this subject. That, you know, if you don't vote for STV, your teeth will fall out and your firstborn will be kidnapped and held by Al-Qaeda and so on. You know, you gotta go this route, Dave, is what everybody's saying. And you know what? I think I will not vote for it, to tell you the truth. I think it's not that the current system is fabulous, but until someone can show me how this or any other alternate is better, I'm not going to vote for it. Look, there's an old trick, you know. The trick is vote for change. Well, you know, choosing change is a good idea if there's a reason. But, you know, do you leave one wife or partner or spouse for another just because you need change? I don't get this one. I got to be, you know, if someone could sit down and explain it to me, for the simpleton that I am, in some simple way, I might cast my vote otherwise, but at the moment, I'm going to vote against it.
I'm going to vote for it, because I voted for it last time.
Oh, good.
And I always take my lead from Rafe Mayer on these things. You know? But you mentioned that you don't know much about it. No, we've
No, I don't understand it.
See, the thing is, we voted for it 4 years ago.
I know.
And what is it? Whose fault do you think it is that there isn't more public awareness on this issue?
I would say the current government.
And then they would just say, well, we gave you the chance to vote for it, so that's the end of our obligation, right?
Yeah.
This book that you're working on is about what?
It's about my years being the founder and executive director of the Ex-Calais Foundation, which is a residential treatment center for drug addicts, alcoholics, ex-cons, and others. I did that work for 10 years from 1967 to 1976, and that program is still running now under a different name, but still running in roughly the same form in Manitoba and running beautifully. And you know, it's a residential treatment program. People come and stay for quite a while, 6 months, a year, longer. And it's a program based entirely on abstinence and not concerning oneself with with alcohol or drugs, dealing with other issues, getting on and creating a life, you know.
And it'll be published when?
Well, who knows? I just had a major BC publisher turn it down, and that was unfortunate because I had this great good piece of luck meeting the publisher, and that's pretty rare. And then I had one of his one of his very famous authors recommend my book. My friend, who's this author, had read it, and he recommended it, and other people have recommended it. Anyway, they wrote me back, and they said, as only a publisher can, your voice is irresistible, but we don't think we can make a go of it at this time in this market. In other words, your voice is irresistible, but we're resisting it. Yeah, I'm going to work on another draft. It needs some more riches in it. It's close, and I think I know what I have to do to get it even better. And then I have a great editor here in town, and we're going to put together a proposal and give it to the best agent in Toronto. We already have our sights on who that is, and hope that someone... Look, this book isn't going to set the world on fire. There's 1,000 books published every day. But I wrote it because a lot of friends said this is an important subject, and you have to write it, and you have to tell the story, and so on. And it's a hell of a story. It involves a lot of well-known people. It talks about a certain time in Canadian history. It's very funny. It's tragic. It's got a whole bunch of stuff in it. I'm writing it as a kind of memoir, you know?
It sounds irresistible.
I'll give you a copy of the second draft. You're welcome to read it. You'll get a kick out of it. Everybody, meaning like the handful of people who've read it, said they sat down and went, you know, practically in one go, read it end to end and loved it. But they all said, I loved it, but you need to do this and this, and they're all right. They're all correct.
Yeah, well, it's a shame that the blog is ending, but I know we'll be talking to you in the future, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today, David.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you. The websites, the blog, you can still read that there, theburnermonologues.blogspot.com, his website, davidburner.com, the broadcaster and writer, Langara College's David Burner on the line. I'm Joseph Planta. David, are you still there?